Well, thank you, Phil. And wow, you get on really early, don't you? Even thought now that we have a few people, I might have got on a little bit later. But what do we do for so long when we normally have our services? I'm not sure. Anyway, good to have some people here, and for those not just here, but also that I came this morning. You'll get another text message being invited to come to church, and I'll try and mix it up a little bit so it's not the same people attending both services. So some of you might get to come back in the morning. Others might have to go at night, whatever it may be. But we'll try and mix it up a little bit so we can all get to see each other in these first few weeks, and then, Lord willing, and Daniel Anderson willing as well, we might be able to meet with Andrews, I should say. I got him wrong. Hopefully we'll be able to meet a little bit more significantly with some more numbers. So anyway, let's open in a word of prayer and commit this time to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that we can come and just spend this time in your word. Lord, as we saw this morning, we need your word to encourage us. And Lord, we also need each other and the fellowship that we have as brothers and sisters in Christ to be that encouragement as well. And I pray that we can enjoy both this evening. And so we thank you for the time that we can have now. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't want you to turn there straight away, but we are looking at Numbers chapter 13 tonight. And at this stage, Israel was still heading towards the promised land. And it's interesting that despite all their complaining, all their lusting, all their doubting, the Lord was still taking them to the promised land, which reveals a little bit about God in that he is faithful even when we're not faithful. And that's a blessing. He said, I'm going to take you to the land. And that's exactly what he was going to do despite all their complaining. But by the time we get to Numbers 13, it was the time to send out the spies. And this is a very famous story. If you've been to Sunday school, you would have heard it plenty of times. And there's a lot of applications that we can take from there. There's a song that we don't sing in our Sunday school, but I know that I've heard it sung in a number of Sunday schools. And if you've been watching the Sunday school videos, you'll know that I'm not too good with words and I get a fair few things mixed up. But it goes along the lines of this. 12 men went out to spy out Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good. All right, and there's even actions. I don't know how it says. I'll try and do it like this. 12 men went to spy out Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good. Is that how you do it, Zoe? Yeah. And so you get trained as a young person that there were 2 good spies and there were 10 bad spies. Question is, what made the 10 bad? Have you ever stopped to think about that? If they were living today, we would think, well, they're probably very violent, evil, cruel, immoral men, and that's why they were bad spies. But the reality is they're considered bad because they didn't believe God. That was it. And what made the 2 good? Was it because they were kind, considerate, thoughtful, morally good? They went to church, maybe? That's sort of what we would consider as someone who is a good person, but no, we call them good spies because they were the 2 who believed God. And so 10 spies were bad because they didn't believe God. 2 spies were good because they did believe God. Now, if that's the case, if believing God and trusting him and acting on that is the basis of if you are good or bad, well, then I put this to you. Where does that put you? If this song was sung about our church, when we're all together, and we might say, There might be something like 100 people attended Golden City. How many would be bad and how many would be good? If believing what God says to be true and acting upon it is the basis of being good or bad. I wonder if you would be a part of the 10 or a part of the 2. You know, we like to think we're good and we might have reasons for it. Well, I don't do this and I don't do that and I don't do that. And I do this for the Lord and I do this for the Lord. And we work out the basis of being good or bad on maybe things we don't do or we do do. Yet God says that without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And this was these 10 spies' problem. And it was the problem of those who listened to the 10 spies as well. They didn't believe what God said. And so God was upset with them. And in the reality is, we may not realize it, but most of our sinful actions are traced back to not believing God. Often we don't use our gifts because we don't believe God will help us to use them. Or we don't give to God because we don't believe that God will supply our needs if we give to Him. Or we don't wait on Him because we don't think God's hearing us. Most of the sins we commit is traced back to not believing what God says in His Word. Even though God tells us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. But we don't believe what God says about a certain particular area, and so we lean to our own understanding instead of trusting in God's word, and thus we fit into the category of the 10 spies, where we don't believe and trust God. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 3, would you, before we start getting into this too much, because in Hebrews we are given a very stern warning from God about unbelief from this account that we're going to look at tonight. So this is the New Testament application, basically. In Hebrews 3, verse 10, it says, "Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." And then down at verse 18, it says, "And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest? But to them that believed not." So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And so we learn here that God was grieved with this generation, upset with them so much that He refused to let them go into the promised land, and it all came down to unbelief. Nothing else, unbelief. He could deal with their lusting, He could deal with their complaining, He could deal with so many things, but when it came to not trusting Him in this manner, that was it. And at this time He dealt with Israel in a very severe way that we're going to be looking at next Sunday night. But we see here that this should turn the spotlight on us and make us realize that when what upsets God more than anything is a heart of unbelief. When we see what He says and then we don't trust His word about it, but we choose to do something else instead. And so, and in doing that, as we see here, we rob ourselves of many blessings that God would love to give us and many things He would love to do for us, but He doesn't because of our unbelief. Now, having said that, let's turn to Numbers chapter 13 and we'll go through this a little bit. In Numbers chapter 13, I have four our headings. And don't worry, there's only 5 points tonight. 5 points? Maybe 6. All right. But the first one is the research team. The research. I'm trying to go with R's. All right. Is that all right, Ava? R's. Think of R's. All right. I've got people to talk to now. It's fantastic. And so you try and work out all the R's on the points, all right? The first one is the research team. And we can read verses 1 to 3, first of all. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And so this is the time that they've been waiting for. They're out of Egypt. One from each tribe. They were the leaders of the tribes. And they were to go and to spy out the land. And so these men were chosen. And we read there in verse 4. And these were the names of the tribe of Reuben. Shemua, the son of Zachor. And so one of them was Shemua. Now, does anyone recognize him? No. He doesn't stand out, does he? What about the next guy? Of the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, the son of Hori. Now, does anyone recognize him? No. That's the interesting thing is, these two men could have been known as the two good spies, couldn't they? When we sing the song, we know who we're talking about, Joshua and Caleb, all right? But it could have been these two men. They could have been the good spies who trusted God. Or maybe the song could have changed, all right? 12 men went out to spy out Canaan. 8 were bad and 4 were good. These guys could have been good as well. They had the opportunity, but they blew it. Why? Because they didn't believe what God said and trust him. And so they blew the opportunity to be known throughout history as the men who trusted God. And I'd like to put to you, I wonder how many here who are watching at home would have the opportunity to be known as those who trusted God, but you never will. And it's not because of a lack of ability or a lack of opportunity, but it's simply because of a lack of faith where God asked you, called you, gifted you in a certain area and wanted to use you, but you didn't because you didn't trust him or believe that he would help you. And so you never did what God wanted you to really be doing. Well, Shemua and Shaphat could have been men of faith also, but only one thing stopped them. They didn't want to trust God. Now, if we read on verse 6, of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Does anyone recognize Caleb? Yeah, we all recognize him, don't we? And if we read on, it talks about Joshua as well. We read these two men, we recognize them because they were men of faith. Interesting thing is, though, Caleb didn't do anything out of the ordinary to be known as a man of God. You know, he didn't come back and say, hey, yep, those giants, there were giants, but don't worry, I slew them all for you, all right, with a toothpick, all right? I trusted God so much, I destroyed them with a toothpick, so we don't have to worry about giants now. No, it wasn't anything to do with that. It was just simply, he said, the land is exactly the way that God said it was, and we can trust God to take it. He just trusted. That's all. And that's all that God is looking for from us, just to believe what he said and then act upon it. And if we were to read on, we see that there's other men we don't recognize until we get to verse 16, and it says, and Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua. It's a great name. Hey, Josh. Joshua and Caleb. And so these were the men that were chosen to go out, the research team. Next point. Ava, you ready? The required information. Required. The required information. Moses tells them what information he wanted them to find out. I think it's important that we read this. And Moses, I'll put my glasses on, that might help too. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. And so this is what they were to do. Go out and check out the land and see what it's like. Notice they weren't sent to see if they could defeat them or not. Moses didn't go and say, go and check out their cities and see if God's going to be big enough to destroy the cities. And check out how big these guys are and see if God's going to be big enough to be able to defeat them. No, they weren't sent to do a plausibility study to see if this is really worth doing or not. He just went out to go and find out how they lived, where they were, and what the land is like. That's all they were to do. And so then we see, thirdly, sorry, this is a big word, the reconnaissance. She'll never get that one. Okay, the reconnaissance, the gathering of the information. It says here, verse 21, so they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob as men came to Hamath. And then we can go through and they saw the giants and everything. And then verse 25 says, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And so these men, these 12 men went out, searched the land all around the place for 40 days. And we're told that they saw the children of Anak, which were the giants. They saw the grapes, the pomegranates, the figs. They saw everything that the Lord, that the land had to offer. And it was exactly how God said it would be. Funny that, isn't it? Exactly how God said. It was as though he had already been there. Yes, he had been. Now, so far, so good. Everything is going to plan. Pick 12 spies, go out, spy, come back, tell us what it's like. It's exactly like what God said. And now, but then we start to have the hiccup. And here is the report. Number 4, the report of the team. They went to Moses, and in verse 27 it says, and they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. And so the place is amazing. Look at this fruit. But then they say, nevertheless. Oh, why did they have to say that? The land is full of everything that God said, nevertheless. And even though they were meant to be just giving a report, now it seems as though they're giving an opinion. Either by the tone of their voice or their expressions on their face or how they said it, they now made it sound as though this was an impossible task to take this place. Because it says in verse 28, nevertheless the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Here they're, it sounds like they're just giving a report, but we know by the reaction of the people, it's more than a report. This is an opinion. They're saying this is tough, this is hard, we're not going to be able to beat them. And as they focused on the size of the people and looked at the height of the walls of the city, their hearts sunk, and the people didn't think that they could take the land. And what we see in verses 30 to 33 is the recruitment of the people. recruitment. Yeah, I've lost her. It's made very evident that there were two groups of research team here. There was one group that thought it was impossible to take this land, and then there was another group that thought it was possible to take this land. Verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses. And so obviously they're all upset. We can't do this. And he stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. And so we don't have to wonder where Caleb stood. These giants, these walled cities, didn't scare him. He just trusted that what God said was possible. And so he wanted to go and take them then and there. But the 10 bad spies started a smear campaign to counteract what Caleb was saying, to convince the people that this is not a good idea and they really can't do this. And these spies began to give their reasons, which were really just excuses disguised as reasons on why they didn't want to obey God. And you know, the fact is, when people are not trusting the Lord and their heart is full of unbelief, they rarely give an honest reason why they don't want to do something. They come up with a reason that disguises their unbelief. You know, I've never had anyone come to me and say, Pastor, I'm not going to go into the ministry because I just can't trust God to provide for me and provide and help me through all the unknowns. And so I'm just not willing to trust God to go in the ministry, even though I believe he's calling me. I've never had that. But I've had people give reasons, all right, why they don't believe they have. Usually they have excuses disguised as a reason. I've never had someone say, Pastor, I'm not going to come to church anymore because I'm just way too slack. I've got used to this staying at home and I'm not going to come to church anymore because it's really cozy just on Sunday nights and Sunday mornings. I'm never going to hear any of you say that if you stop coming to church. You'll have an excuse disguised as a reason. Never had anyone say, I'm not going to use my gifts because I'm too proud to get laughed at if I make a mistake. But I've had plenty of people give me reasons that are really just excuses. Most people find another reason that isn't the truth for not doing what God wants them so that they disguise their unbelief. And it was the same with these men. They had excuses why they believed it was foolishness to obey God. And with most of these when excuses are given, there's a piece of truth with lies. And we see here what they said there in verse 31, first of all. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. So Caleb's on one side saying, hey, we can do this, let's go. And says, the men that went with Caleb, they said, we can't, because the people there, they're much stronger than us. Now that may well have been true. They may have been a bunch of weaklings, you know, all the Israelites. And so that might have been true. Without God, they may not have been able to do it. But then they tell a lie. Verse 32, and they brought up an evil report of the land. An evil report just means a slander or smearing the land, where they say, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And so they're saying, yes, one moment, yes, it's just like God said, but on the other hand, it's not that great a land. It eats up the inhabitants. Now, that could be taken two ways. It could mean it's dry and barren and it's really hard, Or it could be that it's really dangerous. There's animals and enemies, whichever way. But what they're saying is, I know God says it's the promised land, but we're here to tell you it's not that good. I don't think it's really worth it. And then they start to exaggerate. Verse 32, as we go on, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Now, is that really the truth? We know there were giants, but not all the men were of great stature. That is now starting to exaggerate. They're all big blokes, all of them. Right? We're not going to be able to beat them. They're all big blokes. Now they're just trying to just expand the truth a bit to try and persuade people their own way. And then, if that's not a big enough exaggeration, then the big one comes. Verse 33, and there we saw the giants. So the normal blokes are big, and there's giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And so they saw the giants as well. And the giants were like, or we were like grasshoppers compared to the giants. Now, I don't know if you've ever stopped to think about that, how big of an exaggeration that is. I've done a little bit of calculations. I've worked out that I'm around about 150 times taller than a grasshopper. Okay? And so if I was standing here and I'm an average bloke of Israel and there was someone that I was like a grasshopper to, that would mean they were 250 metres tall. All right? And so that's what they're saying. We're like grasshoppers. They're like giants. Now, that is like a movie giant, you know, 250 metres tall. That is an exaggeration. And what I have found over the years, and I know I've done it myself, is people will often exaggerate to make their excuses seem more believable. When people don't want to trust the Lord, they make things out to be bigger and harder than what it really is to justify their lack of faith. And that's exactly what these two groups did. Joshua and Caleb said they could take the land. The other 10 said they couldn't take the land. Now the question is, who was right? You might say, well, obviously Joshua and Caleb, they were right because they took the land. But in reality, they were both right. Did Joshua and Caleb take the land? Yes, they were right. Did the other 10 men not take the land? Yes, they didn't take the land. They said you couldn't take it, and it was true. They didn't. They were right as well. Those who trusted the Lord were able. Those who didn't trust the Lord were not able. And this is a really important lesson that we can take from this. The difference between those who God is able to use and bless and do wonderful things in and through has nothing to do with ability or motivation, and has everything to do with if we're willing to trust Him or not. It comes down to our willingness to believe God. The things that you say you can't do, I can't forgive, I can't sort that out, I can't overcome this, I can't serve in that way. Is that because God has said you can't? Or is it because you're not willing to trust the Lord? Because there's a very big difference. If God says you can't do something, you're never going to be able to do it. But if God says you can, well then that doesn't mean you will do it. It just means you're able to if you will trust Him. And while you continue to refuse to trust the Lord and obey Him, you will be right. You'll never do whatever that is. You might even convince yourself all your life, see, I'm right. I never was able to do that. And you might think it's because you couldn't, But the reality is it was because you wouldn't trust the Lord. You know, those 10 spies, I don't know how long they lived in that for that 40 years in the wilderness, but I could just imagine them. Told you, never going to get in there. We said you couldn't get in there. We're right. They could have gone to their grave, their last dying breath, saying, I see, we were right. We never made it. And they might have died thinking they were right. Yet we know they were wrong. Because the children of Israel did go in and they did conquer and have victory. It says that these men missed out. You know, I know if you use an example, in the early days when I believed the Lord was calling me to be a pastor and a preacher, I couldn't get up the front and speak any two words together. And I was convinced that I can't do this. And if I was never willing to test my gifts and to trust the Lord, I would be nearly a 53-year-old now. Who knows what I would be doing? And I'd probably say, yep, I thought God wanted me to be a pastor and a preacher, but I knew I couldn't do it. And I could be convinced myself that I was never really called because I never trusted the Lord. On the other hand, I just chose to swallow my pride, and if I make a fool of myself, so be it, and trust the Lord. And as time went on, it was revealed that I was. The difference between the two Allens is one was willing to trust the Lord and one wouldn't have been. And the truth is, when God tells us to do something and out of unbelief we make up reasons, we exaggerate and we have excuses, what we're doing is we are really in the 10 spies group. As we say, the bad spies. Because they don't trust the Lord. And we can live our whole life being in that group. Or we can be like the two and believe what God says and trust Him and be like Him. And I wonder, have you been exaggerating lately? Or making up excuses about something because you're too afraid to trust the Lord? The Lord says, this is what I want you to do. This is how you ought to be living. But you've made excuses, blown it out of proportions to try and justify your lack of faith. Well, this is the warning that we have from this story given to believers in the New Testament. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear. That's talking to us. Lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, that is living that victorious life and living how God wants us, any of you should seem to come short of it. The truth is, the Lord wants us to learn this from this event. The Lord has many promises that He's made to us. He has many plans, and they're different for each one of us, that He has for us. There are victories He wants all of us to enjoy, but it all comes down to if we're going to believe what God says about those things or if we won't. Maybe it's time to stop the excuses. Take God's warning and start living how He wants. Otherwise, a similar fate to this generation awaits you. And you might say, well, what's that? Well, next Sunday night, we'll have a look at what that is. And it's not pleasant. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that, Lord, we can be pleasing in Your sight. And Father, it all starts by believing what You have said. And Lord, that sounds easy, but so often it's hard because we think we know better. Help us to trust Your word above everything, above our feelings, above what others may say. Lord, I pray that we'll put Your word on that altar, and Lord, we will worship You and Your word and live our life by it. And Father, as we trust it and believe it, we will enjoy Your blessings as You see fit. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.